Hey guys, on tonight's episode of Quantico, a mission forces Shelby to deal with someone from her past. McQuigg finally shoots his shot for real, and it looks like Jocelyn wants that old thing back. We're going to talk about it and share our thoughts. Stick with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Hi guys, welcome back.
Yes.
Why did we want to do this dramatic?
Because we're weird.
I don't know. Our iTunes listeners, if you can't see it, you obviously can't
just
see
it. Just imagine like
us swimming with
Matrix
no water.
Slow motion.
Matrix.
Dramatic.
We look like dead fish.
That was being kind. What's up, everybody? I'm your girl, Christine, here on the Quantico After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We are down one lovely lady, but we do have the rest of our panel. What's up, ladies?
We are here, and we are natural today, ladies.
Girl.
Ow! Ponytails, buns.
Talk about it.
Anyway.
We were lazy today.
I'm Ashley Allen, and you can find me on social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And yep. Elena here. And the natural bun is because, you know, y'all, it's hot in Los Angeles. It has been hot for the past 2 to 3 days.
Yes. And by hot, we mean like 105 degrees.
Like not super your neighbor hot breath kind of hot. Like, let's imagine it's a summer day and you're sitting in front of a heater on top of having a heating pad on you somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ridiculous.
It's disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. What it is. Boob sweat on 10.
Oh.
And sweating out on 10.
I don't have that problem.
Oh, it's just, my God.
Listen, I'm in the itty bitty committee and I still have that problem, so I don't know. But switching gears to Quantico, how'd you just in general impressions about this week's episode? Are we at the same level as we were last week? Lower, higher?
Definitely better than last week for me.
Really?
Yes.
Opposite for me. I had a hard time watching this one. I had to. Once I got into it, it was good, but okay. I had to restart it from the beginning at least 3 times. So maybe it was just the intro. Maybe the intro just wasn't captivating enough. I mean, last week we went from all of this drama with Alex. We were going to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the way that it came in today, like, we talked about it a little bit, but we kind of ignored the fact that she almost died. Like, she has little to no traumatic anything.
Yeah.
No, like, yes, she lost her baby and she was super sad about it, but
well, I think in this position, too, maybe some time has passed, but they just don't do a good job of showing us how much time has passed.
Well, they said that it's been a few weeks. That's what they said, but we don't.
Who said that?
When they were at dinner?
Yeah, when they were at dinner, Shelby and Alex.
See, and I rewinded that time. I literally had to rewind that part 3 times because I didn't really catch on what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. It was like, it wasn't, like, how you just going to start there?
Yeah.
They're barely friends.
See?
Well, it seems like that has changed. Really quick, before we get into it, just for anyone who's tuning in right now for tonight's episode of Quantico, we are talking about this mission.
Yes.
And someone from Shelby's past who kind of made this mission a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk about Jocelyn and Frank.
Yes.
And what's going on with that. And we're going to talk about McQuigg shooting his shot at Alex.
I was here for that.
Yeah. I was too. It was about time.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
Because he used the line. I was like, maybe I should try that.
It wasn't a bad line. I mean, for
I
a white guy,
great.
Yeah. Like,
for a white guy.
I just mean like a white guy who's into country music like him. Like, that was right in his, like,
okay.
You know, if he was like Ayo Ma, like,
yeah, no,
be
no,
weird,
no, don't
you
do
know?
That.
No, that, so, that would have been real
stick
mad
to who
awkward.
You are. I'm liking his approach. Again, like you said, we'll get into this later, but I'm liking his approach and how he's dealing with Alex. It's
me
different
too.
Than what she's dealt with before.
Well, let's talk about Alex because, like we said, last episode, you know, there was this whole traumatic scene that happened and Alex loses her baby. And going into this week's episode, I wasn't sure where exactly it would pick up, but it did pick up weeks later and we see Shelby and Alex sitting at dinner. And at this time, we learn, I guess, through bits and pieces of their conversation that Shelby herself is not even supposed to be out.
Right.
Because of the fact that she is testifying.
At the UN.
At the UN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these girls were just sitting at a window seat in a crowded
which never
city
happens.
Never.
While they're supposed to be undercover. Like,
meanwhile, Ryan was back at the penthouse, wherever it is they're staying, and he was like, they're after her. So you mean to tell me that you snuck out to go have dinner with Alex and you know that they after you and you sat at a window?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all.
That, for me, you know, I've been very vocal about this. High key unrealistic. Yeah. Like, that was where it started. I said, damn, if this is where the episode's going to start, I don't know.
Can I fast forward and fill in, we'll fill in the blanks later. Shelby had one other moment that was, like, very unrealistic. She was laying on the ground during a gun scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ryan came over to her, but she was, like, she looked slumped. Like, I thought that she was shot. She was just laying on the ground dead. And then Ryan came over to her. Shelby, are you hit? No, I don't think so. Girl, so you mean to tell me
you just laying,
that she was just...
She anyway. Tanning. She was tanning on the ground. That's what was happening.
Yeah. I don't know if she was just trying playing to duck dead. Fire or... But even, like, do the army crawl. Get out of there.
Something.
Like, be moving, because if not, you're just a sitting target that people yeah. can shoot
she
at.
She didn't even say, I'm okay. Like, she didn't say anything. Nobody even
knew she was not behind the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's up, Ryan? You keeping tabs on your woman, but not in that moment? Interesting.
So they're at dinner. They're having this conversation. Yeah. And then action picked up a little bit.
Right. We kind of... It's that whole opening scene just, like, set the stage of what this episode was really going to be about.
Yeah.
With Shelby testifying, and at least in Alex's corner, just her coming back from leave and yeah. trying to, you know, get her groove back. Get back into the swing of things. You know, professionally and personally.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, like, we saw the sniper setting up, getting his shot in place. We saw the two guys that were, you know, talking to Shelby and Alex, you know, coming up to the window and stuff like that. And, I mean, I get it's TV. They have to build up the suspense and everything like that. But I'm just like, well, how long is it going to take for him to shoot?
I mean...
You know what I mean? And I don't know. For me, that part was just another very predictable moment. And it just didn't even do anything for me.
As an Alex fan, like, I've really loved growing with her on this show. Like, season from season, getting into her mind, knowing how, you know, she solves things. Like, she's just phenomenal. I would have loved to known what happened during her leave. Like, okay. I felt excluded from that, obviously, because they didn't show it to us.
Right.
But I think... We know everything else about Alex, or she's shared, you know, these things and the things that we don't know, even from the past with her dad to her wanting to be an FBI agent, like all of it we've walked around a journey with. Mm-hmm. So I would have loved to know, what did she do during her leave? How did she handle it? What was she thinking about? Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Because yeah. we've seen her handle professional adversity, but personal adversity, dealing with something like that.
Right.
Aside from, like, the things with her father and, you know, romantic some turmoil with Ryan, with Ryan
some
and
things,
friendships, but this was something that was very deeply personal to Alex
yeah.
and could potentially be something that decides whether or not she stays with the Force or not. So as a viewer, I was surprised that we didn't get more. Even a little montage before the dinner scene of mm-hmm. Alex being at home and, you know, looking off into the window, figuring things out,
right.
seeing her spending some time by herself maybe.
Yeah.
Just little things for us to understand where she was at, because that I thought was going to be a bigger part of this episode, and mm-hmm. it was just kind of like an underlying thing.
Mm-hmm. That's almost like when she got pregnant, though, because we had the conversation of, oh, this brings forth that discussion of working women and women being pregnant right. and yeah. being in the force, and we literally had our differences about that. So it would have also been nice for us to carry that conversation on. Things do happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe from the writer's perspective, that was just really touchy to go into because everyone deals with it differently. But giving us something would have still, something pertaining to Alex's character yeah. would have sufficed.
Yeah, and I mean, even though that is a touchy topic and everyone has their own opinions about it, if you're going to go there, you're going to go there.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it being a TV show and it being art, is that you have that capability and that openness to, you know, maybe get people to look at things from a different perspective. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So yeah. I just, like, we're all hitting the same point home. It just would have been nice to... You know, see it a little bit more.
True.
But she came back and she was kicking and screaming and running. She was 100%, baby. You would have never known.
Yeah.
Well, this week they had a lot on their plate because not only were they taking care of an asset in Nasir, who his testimony was vital to the UN. I mean, mm-hmm. to be honest, that was a little fuzzy for me at first.
Same.
I was trying to understand why this mattered so much, the timeline of where we were at and what that even meant. But his and Shelby's testimony mattered very much. So, you know, that also caused some issues with Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
This was interesting this week to see him react to having someone like Nasir, who Shelby has a past with, be so close in their operation.
So let me ask you this, because I was a little confused about exactly their past, because when they met up at the park, you know, he came on to her in a romantic
way. Very confidently.
But later on in the episode, she said that he lost his wife and family and all that. So I'm confused. Like, did they have a romantic relationship? Was it, like, what happened?
I think they did have a romantic relationship. It was unaddressed. I think we would have benefited from flashbacks.
Yeah.
Between Nazir and Shelby. That would have helped us as viewers. I think that she didn't discuss it because she was talking to Ryan about it. Mm-hmm. And she was just trying to show why she was so sentimental toward him. And I think it may have started with her having background details on his family and not sharing it with him and then feeling bad and trying to overcompensate.
Yeah.
You know, Shelby, when she feels like she's done wrong, she really tries to make it up.
Yeah.
And once she gets close to someone, she ends up falling. Like, they end up falling for each other. So I think that's what happened with her and Nasir. Like, it did start as a family thing, and then they developed feelings, and then they had this poem that they shared, and she tried to act like she forgot it, but all of a sudden, she remembered it. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we would have benefited as viewers from a little girl chat with Alex and Shelby to kind of get that backstory, yeah. Since Shelby's constantly trying to pull every waking emotion out of Alex at any point. Would have been nice for her to share a little bit more about that.
I agree.
She didn't want to, though, because Alex asked about it. Alex said, what was that in the park?
Right.
And then Shelby tried to brush it off, and Alex said that he was speaking Arabic. And Shelby was like, oh, it's still nothing.
Yeah.
And I think from last episode to this episode, it seems like their friendship is back on track almost, and mostly due to the fact that Shelby was there for Alex during her miscarrying the baby and her almost drowning, like all of it. So that, I'm sure Shelby's support meant a lot to Alex, so that's how they probably were able to build that bond again. But if you're gonna build that bond, then I'm gonna need you to be like, girl, Nasir's here and I love him,
something like, let's be honest with each other.
That's a lot.
This is why I rolled my eyes at their friendship last week. You guys laughed at me when I said, like, am I being petty because I wouldn't have wanted Shelby to be there? That's because I just feel like real friends would be honest with each other. And not only them being friends, but they also work together. This is a mission that they're trying to accomplish, and you're still not telling the truth.
Yeah, it seemed like Shelby was so working double time to try and hide how close she was to him and their past, that it was causing problems. And that's something that Ryan addressed in her behavior. He's like, I've never seen you like this. You know, you're not thinking straight. Like, this isn't how we do protocol. Your emotions are affecting us trying to keep everybody safe. And I like the way that he called her out about it after, you know, we had that funny moment with Harry and McQuigg kind of letting, you know, Ryan know, you're coming off very jealous, fam.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even have to. Ryan said it themselves. They were like,
he said it without saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Ryan said, I'm not jealous of Nasir. Okay. Since you went there, basically, you are. But what I really love is after that, I feel like Ryan really stepped up and matured this episode. Because the way he handled Shelby, even after realizing she was in love with Nasir, I thought was very supportive, especially as a husband. Especially when all the drama went down, like, he was consoling her, like, I'm sorry that this happened.
Yes.
And he called her out, like, you may have these feelings, but step up. What I don't like is that Shelby tried to bring the whole him and Alex situation into it. And it's like, okay, this is not the time for that, but kudos to Ryan. I really feel like he stepped up this episode.
I mean, I am going to say, even though she brought it up and it wasn't the time and the place,
Goody.
I think good for her because she's been having to deal with this Ryan and Alex drama for forever, even though she put herself in that situation.
Right.
I am going to say I didn't have a problem with it. But I am going to say that I am enjoying seeing where they're taking Shelby and Ryan's marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they're going to be married and everyone's going to be this big, happy family, I want them to actually act like a married couple. For the past few episodes, they've been doing that. So I'm enjoying seeing that.
Yeah, and some time has passed. I mean, they've been working on some crazy cases. They've been through a lot. You could even see it at one point when they were arguing. You know, Alex kind of gave a look, but then, like, looked away. She kind of knows that's not her place to interject anymore. Like, I think the team is just getting used to the dynamics that are there and letting things fix themselves.
McQuigg actually gave her that look, and I thought that that was very attractive of him. Like, wow, because Shelby and Ryan ran to Alex with questions.
Right.
And then, but Alex was talking to McQuigg at the time, and they both looked very stunned. And then McQuigg looked at her and was like, this is our cue to leave.
Right.
And I was like, you be a gentleman. You be a man. You bring your future woman out of this drama. You tell her that she has no place in this conversation. I mean, he didn't say all that, obviously, but the wig said all that to me. So I thought it was amazing. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I want to switch gears and talk about Alex and McQuigg's relationship, because I felt like we finally got something. But before we get into that, definitely want to hear a word from Ashley.
We have some news to share with you guys.
Do we?
Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From drama to reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's a network that works harder to serve you television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you and will help you AfterBuzzers continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry, because they're optional. So make sure that you hit that subscribe button and make sure you hit it for this channel and all of the other channels that we provide, and check out all of the other AfterBuzz YouTube channels and let us know that you did so by mentioning it in our comments, and we'll thank you on air, give you a special shout out. And we want to just thank you guys for being the best fans and helping us AfterBuzzers become the ESPN of talk TV.
Thank you guys.
Yes, you guys are bomb.
First of all, I know that y'all have a lot of favorite shows, because last week when I was out, I logged on and I was trying to be quiet because I didn't see anyone with their laptop, because y'all wasn't going to give me a fan shout out. So I was like, let me not say anything. But our fans get a little quiet. So I definitely want you guys to comment. Let us know your other favorite shows.
Yes.
Maybe we are either on that panel or have insight about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm on the Bachelorette panel. What else are you guys doing right now?
I'm doing the four.
Yes. So, the four. Yeah.
You're doing the four?
I am.
So that's on the AfterBuzz Reality TV competition?
The competition channel.
And the Bachelor is on
the AfterBuzz Reality TV channel.
Look at that. That's two channels that you can subscribe to. So let us know that you may have or, you know, will subscribe to those.
And even though we might not be on the panel, we still would watch and we still would love to comment and chat with you guys with all type of fun. Yeah.
But this last episode, anyway, we'll talk about it
in the
comments.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later. Yeah, just shout us out and we'll love to chat with you guys.
Yeah, as you can see, we are very passionate about what we do. And this is not just for YouTube listeners. This is for iTunes listeners, guys. Yes. We love you. We don't forget about you. Be sure to rate us 5 stars and leave us a comment.
Yes.
But let's get back to the tea, because Alex and McQuigg finally seem to be moving things along.
You know, he has a little swag. I like the way he's handling her. He's handling her like, okay, I'm showing you I have interest, but I'm not sweating you. And I like that.
Especially during a very sensitive time for Alex right now. He chose his moment wisely, I think.
Because she's vulnerable. Duh. He's trying to get in her pants.
That too.
You know what I think he did? I think McQuigg was very strategic.
Yes.
He came in. He immediately knew that he wanted Alex, but he observed her first. Mm-hmm. And I think that now that he's learned more about her, it's his moment to execute. Because he's almost like, I saw the way she walks. I see the way she talks. I see how she moved. Now I can move with her. And he walked up and said, you know, what did he say? Thinking about you is the best part of my day. Mm. She said, sorry, what?
Excuse me, sir, what? It was a line from a country song.
One that he wrote.
No, but that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, because she's like, by who?
She's like, by who?
Yours truly.
That was, look at me. You like country music? No, that was a lie. Let me hear it. Pull it up. Like, I would. Like,
I would too.
Let me hear the song. I love it.
Where do you guys see their chemistry going? Or what are you rooting for? Like, do you think this is best for Alex right now with where she's at in her life? Because, like we talked about last week, we keep getting these Andrea flashbacks to her life. I mean, it's still very much a real possibility.
I want to keep them at just flirting. I really don't want her to run and jump into anything else serious, especially what she's dealing with right now. I want her to fully process what just happened to her, process if she's ready to go back to work. Don't get into a whole nother love situation. Just enjoy his company, flirt, and have fun.
I agree. I want her to have fun. I don't want her to get into anything serious. I don't want any drama. I'm kind of over the drama at this point. So it was fun to not have much drama on the team. except for one person. I'm not going to say no names.
Oh.
But.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you should say a name.
Did I not? Did I not just say a name?
Yeah, you said something.
I was signing with my hands for those on
right
iTunes.
Over my head. Gotcha.
I got it.
Gotcha. Yes.
So anyway, I like the fact that there has been little to no drama between the core team.
Yeah.
So I want her to have, I want them to have fun, like them flirting and going out to a dive bar or not to a dive bar. I think that he's learning her and she's enjoying the attention and I think she needs it right now.
Yes. And they're taking their time. As we've seen in past seasons, it seems like relationships with Alex, grow and they move really fast. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying that the pace that these two have taken this entire season has been very slow and very gradual.
Yeah, they're not forcing it down our throats the way that I anticipated they would when I first saw that connection between them.
Yeah.
So
they're forcing another relationship that is just irritating.
It's funny because it's like I noticed with this episode, we're not really talking so much about the case, but more so about the way that these relationships are developing. I feel like that's where we're at right now. Episode 9, you know, into this season, mm-hmm. it's so much bigger than the cases that they're dealing with, which is something we wanted initially starting the season. But I think we can all agree, like, it's just not getting much better. I don't feel like it is.
They haven't changed it much. But what I can say is I did like the villain of this episode.
Yeah, oh, totally. I like, get to that.
I liked Connor.
New villain alert.
He was scary. I think he wasn't that
scary.
He was scary to me.
He was just like cold.
At the end with him doing those push-ups, are you kidding me?
He was just cold. Like, he was heartless. Like, just...
I know he was a little bit scary, but I did enjoy seeing a villain being an older guy. Because, you know, like, in action movies or even just in TV, usually the villain is, like, this young guy who's in shape and stuff like that. I just enjoy seeing a little twist on it, like an older guy who's heartless and cold and will punch his son in the face.
Did we not know that his son was going to die?
I mean,
if he didn't shoot his son, somebody was going to shoot him. His son was just a...
wannabe.
He was knocking on death's doorstep the entire episode.
He was a doodle on a stick. Like, oh, doodle. I said doodle. I don't know what that means, but you guys get it. Like, he's just airheaded. He was just like an inflatable dummy. Like, he was just non-existent.
Yeah. Well, he was a huge part of this episode.
Was he?
I mean, in the sense that his father was issues for the team. So it turned into just... the FBI and the CIA kind of combining their efforts, trying to get different safe houses to keep Nasir away from Connor Devlin.
Right.
So he's Irish. I guess they have their own Irish mob mm-hmm. thing going on.
I did learn a lot because I didn't know that the Irish and the Syrians had some kind of war or drama, negativity, whatever you want to call it, against them. And that was very clear to me. Even though this was the episode, I still didn't realize it until Nasir walked into the Irish pub and then everyone just stopped.
Mm, got it.
And then the bartender called him Osama. And I was like, oh, okay. So I wonder now, which I would probably have to do my own research, is Ireland and Syria, like, is that a real
thing?
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments, guys. Give us a little history lesson if you have the time. We're going to look into it as well. But just real life implications of what this rivalry was within the episode.
That's what I was love. I was looking for that word, rivalry.
Yeah.
See, I'm just so positive, I don't even think about fighting.
Just shade, right?
Just a little sarcasm here and there.
Well, what did you guys think about, like, I don't know about you guys, but I personally struggled with, A, caring about, like,
Nasir
and just what they were doing in general. I don't know if I'm just losing steam for the show, but I'm just, aside from setting up that there's going to be this new villain, this episode was kind of pointless.
Yeah, I just felt like it's Nasir or Asir.
Nasir.
He was very irritating to me this episode because he was just reckless. He was out of control. He didn't want to let anyone do his job. I get that he was very passionate and, you know, very emotional, but it was very irritating. Like, I just wanted to be like, sit down. Like, let them do their job.
Right.
He was doing too much. And my thing is, you have this relationship with Shelby, then listen.
Right.
Like, to sneak off with a gun and sneak out with the files and walk into this pub, like, come on now.
Yeah.
And then, if we fast forward to Finland dying, Connor's son, the only reason he died was because of Nasir.
Yes.
Like, chill out. You're ruining everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, all those things going into motion kind of forced the rest of the team to look elsewhere for mm-hmm. help, which, you know, enter Jocelyn, who is now seeing Frank.
Again. Well, maybe they decided, you know, too much time has passed, life, death experiences. Now we gotta give it a try.
I think that's what it was? Yeah.
I'm happy for them. I just hate how they are interjecting Owen into it.
Say it right. again, please.
That whole triangle, it's like they're trying to make something out of nothing.
Seriously.
And I'm just like, let it go. Yeah.
The drama there. And I actually like Frank. I like Frank as an agent. I like him in the field.
Yeah.
I thought he was cool for him to have survived all of that. So for them to try to put Owen and him against each other when they were having that conversation and Owen's talking about his daughter, like blah, blah, blah. I was just like, why?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like, you know, Frank is somebody who could be of great help to them.
I agree.
His history on the force, his close relationship with Jocelyn, all the assets, knowledge, and covers that he has could be of great help to the team. But I will say, though, I don't necessarily care for him to join the team at this point.
Yeah, me either.
I think he's somebody who's like a handyman. We use him in isolated situations.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Owen's head was at.
Yeah.
And
nothing's wrong with that.
Right. But it, I don't know that that came across initially.
Who blew it out of proportion, though, Christine?
Frank?
Jocelyn. No, it was Jocelyn.
Frank didn't even have
the problem because Frank said, are you being this tough on me because Jocelyn and I are seeing each other? Owen didn't even know that they were seeing each other until Frank said that.
So do you think that Jocelyn put that in Frank's head?
Possibly, because she's talking about the case and everything else that she got no business talking to him about.
Pillow talking.
Right. Just shut up.
That's true. See, this is why I wanted to bring this up, because I didn't think Owen was in the wrong for how he handled it. Because he's not friends with the dude. There's no reason for him to be, like, necessarily like, oh, yeah, we need you. You know what I mean? Like, they're on mission. They need to get a job done. And that's what he needed him for. And as soon as he served his purpose, mm-hmm. he said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ignore the fact that Owen does have some feelings for Jocelyn. But I don't think that Owen is allowing that to cloud anything. If for me, Jocelyn just made it very annoying.
She kept
trying to argue with him. She kept inserting the situation. And it's almost like I really wanted to say, ain't nobody really checking for you. Like, I need you to stop tooting your own horn. Because she and then she'll use her voice and she's like, Owen, girl, what? Like, saying his name is not going to change anything.
I think, you know, Jocelyn, maybe in her heart of heart, had good intentions. She wants her new boo to get back in the game. But at the same time, you're not in a position to make those kind of decisions
at all.
Yeah.
Owen is the head of this team.
I think she needs to have a little time out right now.
Yeah? You think she's being messy?
She's being a little messy.
I agree. It was just like, Jocelyn, you bigger than that. Like, and if that's your private life, let that be your private life. Stop inserting it into this.
Right.
So that, and that's just where it... Honestly, can I have a confession?
Go for it.
I was watching a show,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, it's time for her to go.
Ooh. You know, I'm not gonna disagree with you.
I'm not either.
Oh,
like, go in the sense as leave the team, or will she die? Because I still think someone else is gonna die on the team.
She doesn't have to die, but she needs that timeout. Like, she needs to sit down somewhere.
What's your version of a timeout?
When I said go, I was thinking that she needed to die.
Oh, dun dun dun!
I know that sounds. That's why it was a confession. It sounds so bad. I didn't really want
to
say that.
What's
going
to happen to her?
Confession slash early prediction.
She don't. No prediction. I'm just saying it's time for her to go. What's she doing at this point? Realistically though, when she first joined the team, she was phenomenal. She was seeing things that the
knowledge.
Team couldn't see. She had the wisdom of not having all of her senses.
Mm-hmm.
So that heightened everything else, and we love that. Now, I'm not getting that from her. Not getting anything from her.
That's what happens when you get a new boo. When the old boo come back, you get distracted.
That's what happened.
That's what's happening. Frank is back in the picture. Now she can't think straight. She hasn't been able to think straight ever since they saved him.
Is it not because she killed
Redhead?
What's her name? Yeah, what's her name?
I think it's a mixture of all of that. Her emotions have not been the same.
Something's happening. I don't know. Maybe she's going to get pregnant.
I don't know. It's also tough just to play devil's advocate a little bit. Like, aside from her bringing Frank into this operation, she didn't really have any use in this.
She didn't do nothing.
She didn't do anything. But you could also make the same argument about Harry sometimes. Like, he wasn't really doing much in this episode.
Harry hasn't been doing much in a lot of episodes. You know,
it's like...
But Harry not annoying us. See, there's right. a difference.
Right.
The reason we know Jocelyn not doing nothing is because Jocelyn is annoying us in the process. I didn't even realize that Harry didn't do nothing this episode. I ain't even gonna lie. All he did was drive the car and something up. I did not notice.
Didn't he help? He helped Alex kill the guy in the park.
He did.
But, and let me give a petty moment to that. How are you going to shoot somebody in broad daylight?
Oh, my God.
Then sit him down on the bench. He's slumped over. And she's wearing a beautiful white coat. And there's not one stain of blood on her coat.
Girl,
I didn't notice that
come
either.
On now.
You know, I might think we might have to create a new segment for our show of the most unrealistic moments. Because that, I actually wrote it down. And I was like, WTF.
I realized, because I'm like, when she was standing over by like the hot dog stand, I was like, oh, that coat is really cute. Then, you know, again, the guy gets shot and they just nicely sit him down like, oh, he's okay.
Did this not make y'all laugh? She was like, it's okay, baby.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Fine.
And I was
right?
Like,
I mean, like, even with a silencer, you're in like what's Manhattan?
Yes.
Like, excuse me, I'm from New York. There's cops everywhere.
There's gonna be blood spatter. I don't care if there is a silencer. So it just was like, come on, guys. We have to be better.
It's okay, baby.
Well, it seems like we're on a consensus that this mission was kind of a dud.
So back to my counterpoint, me liking him as a villain. I thought that, I just liked how he carried himself.
Me
I liked
too.
That he wasn't too messy. He wasn't too dirty. He knew how to claim his authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. He didn't do much of anything. I honestly still don't even know why he was after Shelby and Nazir. Like, I don't know what the crime was. I don't know why he was the villain. But I do know that we haven't seen the last of him.
Yeah. We haven't. And I think having this kind of come into play at this point in the season, I'm actually okay with, to set us up for at least one common thread through these final, four episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Four or five episodes? I guess his main thing was trying to stop them from making that testimony, because weren't they going to testify that it was the Irish people who were doing wrong
to
the
my
series?
Problem is we didn't even get to hear what Shelby testified, so we still don't really know
what
happened. We didn't get any flashbacks. We didn't get any present. They don't want us to be included in the story, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. She goes, I'm going to tell you everything that happened while we were there, and I was ready. And then,
well, it seems like there's more for us to know, because even though we got a snapshot of why Connor is even in the picture, period, we don't know his past, how serious of a villain or how ruthless he is, what other plans he possibly has in the works. His connection with Frank, because I feel like that's why they set it up now. Like, we're just getting, like, a quick preview. There's still so much more we have to learn about him as a villain. And that's the only thing that's getting me excited about these next few episodes, is that maybe there is, like, not maybe, there is more that we don't know.
Okay. He also mentioned to Alex verbally, all y'all are gonna die together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that he was wearing a bomb. Because I remember him loading up his gun. I thought it was real bad ASS of him to, like, go out there. I didn't realize he had help. But when he came out and he was by himself, I was like, yes, you take on the team and die. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I remember when he was preparing, after the scene when his son died, when he was getting ready, I thought that he had prepared a bomb. And maybe that was the bomb for the car.
Yeah.
But I thought that there was another one, like, on his person or something. Because when he told Alex, you guys are all about to die together, I was like, he's about to set off another bomb somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen, but we did see him getting ready in the jail cell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said, the biggest mistake you ever made was not killing me. By the time I'm done, everyone you love will be gone. So that was not a thinly veiled threat by any means. That was direct,
right,
in your face, and setting things up for what's to come.
I believe him.
And then they showed us what prison he was in for
Rikers.
For no reason. Like, we had 5 seconds of that, so I really feel like that's going to come back in the next episode.
Okay. For sure. I mean, he's still local. That's the thing. They're all in New York.
Everybody you loved. Does this mean Andrea and Isabella?
That's what I got when he said that. Those vibes. Because he's already put a face to a name of everyone around her. But saying that specifically to Alex makes me feel like there's more we don't know.
She can't handle any more death of her loved ones. That baby was enough.
I mean, maybe it's going to be her time for real.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine the series ending with Alex dead?
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah. Because it needs to.
I mean, do you think that now because it's canceled, or did you think that was going to happen?
Oh, no, regardless? No. Only because it's canceled.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got you.
Because it's canceled, like, you need to give us closure. I just need closure. I'm really just over shows ending and not giving fans any closure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the problem is if they kill Alex, they are blackballing themselves because that means no one else could ever pick up the show. Like, how are you going to have Quantico without Alex?
Yeah.
However, you need to give us some kind of, it's done, you know?
Okay. Well, it could have been that with the baby, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, and I just want to give a round of applause to the actor, I'm not sure of his name, that played the villain. I think that he did a great job acting in this episode. I believed him in his character. So,
you don't believe everybody else?
clearly not.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he was new to this episode. I liked his character. I enjoyed him, and I enjoyed his mustache. Good job, sir. And an extra round of applause for your mustache.
Okay. Looking real Pringles box, you know, but...
He did!
Or Mr. Peanut Planners. That's the little guy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And the Monopoly guy, doesn't he?
Yeah. They're all kin, you know? I want to give a round of applause to Ryan. He was definitely one of my favorites.
Okay. Ryan was the MVP of the show.
He showed some growth.
He saved Nazir when the son was about to kill him. Because I thought that Nazir got shot.
Right.
But in fact, Finland got shot by Ryan. And I was like, good to you. And then Nazir was like trying to give him the head nods, like, thanks for looking out. I didn't do this for you. Like,
right.
And that's, Ryan basically looked at him and said, I didn't do this for you.
Yeah.
And then when Nazir went down, Ryan was like the first one to drag him away, like before his wife, and try to look after him and take care of him. So I think he really does deserve the MVP of this episode.
Okay.
Ryan is still someone who's showing a lot of character development throughout each situation, which I can appreciate because considering there have been so many changes with the show, and then having like our core people kind of, you know, remain who they are, we're still getting glimpses of them, becoming this new person.
Yeah. And let me call out this one scene that I thought was phenomenal. When Alex told McQuig to drive, and first of all, I didn't realize they were together for that. Come on now. When Alex told McQuig to drive, and then she got out the car and like lunged at Connor, I was like, you better attack him. Like, just taking him on.
Yeah.
If I could play that in slow motion, she's just so fearless. I love it.
Plus, she has, what kind of vision do you have to see that? You know what I mean? Like, real time, let me get in the car and do a drive-by real quick. Like, her vision to see that play out real quick, A1.
Yeah.
That's that Quantico training right there.
That's that Quantico training.
Ooh, well,
you know, she didn't have on any bold lips this episode, I don't feel.
She did.
She did. She had a nice terracotta, like, burnt orange at one point.
Yeah, a little lighter.
Terracotta.
Listen.
Who are you?
I mean...
Again, with the vocab.
She had a nice terracotta. What the hell is a terracotta?
Stop coming from my neck, guys.
No, we love it.
What is a terracotta?
We'll find out. I'll pull up the color shade. But I think we more or less covered this episode. Like we said, it's setting us up for this new villain, Connor Devlin. Let us know in the comments what you guys think of this new villain. Is it necessary to have right now? Do you want to see Quantico kind of have more of a cohesive thread, one major person through these last few episodes? Or do you want to see something different? Do you like the way they're switching it up? Let us know.
Or do you agree that he actually will be back in the next episode?
Yeah.
Like, you might like that it's going to be a common thread, but do you think that he will be returning? We're talking about Connor.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, it's time for us to get into our special segment.
Yeah.
Some news and gossip for you guys.
Yes.
All right. Ashley, take it away.
So, some news.
There we go.
All right, guys. So, some news and gossip for this week for Quantico. Again, like we've been saying, Miss Priyanka, she's busy. She's out here working. She's spending time with her boo. But she did just show us that on Instagram, you know, a little snapshot of what looks like a script of, you know, maybe a movie, TV show, something that she's working on. So I can't wait to see more details about what exactly this project is that she is going to be working on. And we also looked up on her IMDb page. She just completed, I believe, 2 films. So even though Quantico is ending, she is still working. She's out here being a boss lady And we love that.
We do.
She's out here getting it.
I noticed on that screen grab of the script, she did hashtag Hindi movie.
Yeah.
So it looks like she's maybe going back to her roots. A step away from the Hollywood, you know, LA scene, I guess, with doing TV network dramas and getting back to her roots, the Bollywood films.
Yeah.
IMDb has her two other films listed as Bharat and Isn't It Romantic. Not sure the genre of Isn't It Romantic, but Bharat definitely looks like Bollywood.
It's
a rom-com, Isn't It Romantic? So,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna enjoy seeing her on the silver screen.
I would like to see her in her romantic comedy.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Yes,
because she's just so serious to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys ever catch Baywatch? I didn't see it, but I heard she was a villain in that. So that's different for her.
I could see her being a villain before I could see her being like this romantic, funny person.
Okay. I think it'll be a nice switch up. And she also has a birthday coming up, guys.
She does.
She is a Cancer. Her birthday is July 18th.
Yes, honey.
How did I know? We besties.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Priyanka. Early birthday.
Yeah.
Between all her projects, her new man, looks like Priyanka's doing good. We're happy for her.
Yeah. I love to see her. She's out here, like, living life, and I am really happy for her.
Yeah. So that's our news and gossip this week, guys.
It is. But we do have to move into our special segment, our last special segment of the night. You know that we love our lips and leather. Shout out to me for getting my leather jacket tonight.
Or boo to you.
So sorry.
I like how you tried to quickly jump into the fact that you didn't have your leather jacket before I could say anything. Talk about, well, now it's time for our lips and leather. Girl, you are halfway in the segment, okay?
I mean,
it's okay. We love you.
But your lip is popping.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
What are you wearing today?
I'm bringing back an old favorite that I introduced you guys to a couple weeks ago. Wet and Wild Mochalicious. Again, very brown girl friendly. Great on all skin types, really. $2.99 at Target. It's my fave.
I was just at Target. Yes. I'm going back tonight.
And for the record, hold on a second.
She's going to bring up her tremolata something. Whatever she said.
Terracotta?
Well, terracotta.
Okay.
Terracotta is actually really cute. She had that on?
It was a little darker.
It's a little darker.
But she did have that color on. I'll link it somewhere.
That your color. Shirt is like terracotta.
We're on the same vibes, guys.
How did you even know that terracotta was a color?
Because
she's smart.
Thank you. I also worked in retail for a long time, knowing all the colors and the color of the year and knowing all this, you know, useless information. That's not so useless because I used it.
There you go. All right. Well, this week I am wearing Milani.
Ooh.
And the color is Matte Fearless. It's number 70. I love this lipstick because it's a true matte. It's very affordable. And it stays on.
Can you swatch it on me?
Drink, yes, ma'am. You can drink and you can eat.
Where you want to put it?
Let's do the hair. And it stays on all day.
Please.
I really love this line.
It looks pretty on me, I feel. I can't tell.
Well, that's good that it matches because we all have sort of different but similar skin tones. But yeah, this I really love this cosmetic line because it's very affordable. It's very pigmented.
Black-owned. My
opinion, it's better than some of the more expensive stuff. Don't sleep on this, guys.
Yeah, every time I go into CVS, Walgreens, anywhere, I always see them. They're always stocked and such great color payoff.
Packaging is on point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm wearing Red Velvet by VelvetTimes.com, something like that. I remember it. Here's the thing. I can't stay away from the red shades. Like, you know how you find a color that looks fine on you and then you just keep with it? Mm-hmm. But now that you swatched this on me, I feel like y'all need to help me because I don't have the darker lip colors because I run from them since I'm already dark skin. So if you bring your lips for me, then I can try them on and then put them on before the next episode.
We will have some fun. We will get you into some darks. I'm a little afraid of certain colors.
Me too.
So maybe we all can kind of, you know, combine and collaborate. You guys let us know what you want us to wear or what your favorite color is.
If any of you are dark skin, in the comments, let me know the shade that looks amazing in you. I'm also like three tones, so it's like not fair.
I think we just need to take a page out of Alex's book and be bold and try some new things.
Lips and leather, huh?
I'll just try a new shade.
Let's do it.
I love that we have this segment on our show. We're all beauty, you know, lovers, and we really want to be able to take that to the next level. So we're working on some really cool content for you guys. Yeah. May or may not include, you know, I don't even like to spoil things. Yeah. So we'll get there later. But
thanks, Christine.
Yes. I got to tease you. I got to give you a little something to come back for to exactly. see what it is that we're working on. But in the meantime, that is all we have for this week. We miss you so much, Candace. We'll see you next week. But in the meantime, you guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean.
Yeah, and you guys can find me, Ashley Allen, at Ashley Reed Allen. I almost forgot my own name.
And you can follow me, Elena, on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
Hey, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.
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 From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.